just keep you for a few minutes this morning. Just a few minutes. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. We already had two or three messages this morning, so wanted to finish up kind of a series I've been doing. I've been trying to get away from series, and but sometimes I can't help myself. So this morning I'd like to talk about what God did for you. Last week we talked about who we are in Christ, in Him, and what God has done for you as a believer is so refreshing. You know, and what the writer, if it would have been anybody else, we would excuse some things. But Peter was quite the, I always see Peter as wearing the dunce cap in the disciples. You know what I mean? He's a, if there were class, if there were schools back then, he was the class clown or the class troublemaker. Always speaking when he wasn't spoken to, rebuking when, matter of fact, he was one of the only disciples that rebuked Christ. He confessed Christ more boldly, but he denied Christ more boldly. When all the chips were down, he ran. But he also was the one that put out the nets in obedience in Luke chapter 5, and he stepped out of the boat in Matthew chapter 12. None of the other disciples said, "If that's you, Lord, bid me come." You know, Thomas and Bartholomew and the rest of the guys were in the boat. I heard a message once that said the 11 disciples that were in the boat were saying, "Peter, are you crazy? Get back in here." And it was Peter, of course, with James and John that saw the transfiguration on the mountain of Christ. And so he writes in 1 Peter 1, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Father, I pray this morning in this brief time we have in your word, Father, we thank you for your promises that are yes and your promises that are amen in Christ. Father, you didn't just throw us out into this terrible dark world without equipping us. Lord, you didn't give us instructions and send us out without going with us. Matter of fact, you said you'd never leave or forsake us, and you've given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. We thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be doing a series starting next week, Defending the Faith. We're going to be talking about, because of what we're doing on Wednesday night, the Truth Project. You'll want to be here this week if you've not made it. We're talking about who is God this week. Last week we talked about who is man, but who is God and why all the fuss about his sovereignty? Why all the fuss about, did he really say the things he said? One of the things that are under microscope right now in this world is the Word of God. God said marriage is between one man and one woman, but how many know it's been redefined by the world? God said to stay pure and holy, but that's been redefined by the world. So we're going to talk about that. But how many know he gave us the kingdom? Whether we take advantage of that or not is up to us. We're not just citizens in the kingdom. We rule and reign with Christ in the kingdom. Amen. We're not just people that take everything that comes. As a matter of fact, we take a lot we shouldn't take. Come on, somebody. We take a lot we shouldn't take. We should take authority over things that attack us. Right. We can't control the attacks, but we control how we respond to the attacks. Are you there? And we just have finished. We're just finished with it. I think we are a generation that says that's enough. The prophetic word this morning, that's enough. We're finding enough in Christ. And we're finding our voice again. The boldness and the confidence is coming back to the body of Christ. The Word of God says that we're elect. We're chosen. How many know God chose to speak to you? Your response to that selection is why you're here this morning. You said yes to God. That's why you're here. That's why you live in the midst. Somebody said, you know, if we didn't have a job to do, I think it was Amy that said, if we didn't have a job to do, we'd already be in heaven. Turn to somebody and say, I'm glad I'm not in heaven yet. Or maybe you're not glad. Maybe you'd like to be in heaven. But we've been elect according to His foreknowledge. It's an aspect of His omniscience. He chose us before the foundations of the world that we should serve Him. And I've said this many times, but every time I read something like that, I thank God for appointing me for this time. Come on, somebody. Not Daniel, not Peter, not Moses. I mean, you know, it'd be really neat right now to have a Moses. God's not got Moses here, but He got you. Let that sink in. What all those guys did that we can do, we're filled with His Spirit. We speak His authority. We walk in His anointing. So when we speak, we have to have faith it's God speaking. When we act, we have to believe that God is acting. Last week we said He made us. He just didn't create us. He made us. He made us to be like Him. He made us free, not just set us free. Come on, somebody. So the Bible says that we were called in sanctification of the Spirit, a state that we exist in until being glorified. How many know God is always working in us? I got a chance to see God's calendar, and I didn't see any days off. Come on, someone. He never takes a day off in dealing with us. The enemy likes to attack. Like I said, we can't control the attacks, but we can control how we respond to the attacks. And if we rest our faith fully on the knowledge that God is in us, we'll always win. God working in us. Matter of fact, Philippians 2:13 says this, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure." Say, God is working in me. Don't look to anybody else. God's working in you. Right now. Always. Matter of fact, He made a promise. He's not a man that He should lie. He said, "He who began a good work in you shall do what? Complete it until the day of Christ." He's never tired. He's never weary. He never sleeps. He never forgets us. He never lets us go. He never lets us on our own. He never lets us go somewhere where we have to battle through without Him. God is always with us. And while He's with us, He's always working in us and through us. And we have authority in Jesus' name. And if anybody's telling you anything different, don't listen to them. What He did for us is tremendous. What He did for us is off the charts. Nobody can do what He does. I can't rely on anybody else. I can't rely on some TV preacher. I can't rely on those that I've asked to speak into my life. I can't even rely on my own wife to do what God could do at any second, at any minute, at any time. Sanctification of the Spirit. What's that mean? That means He's always working in us, both to do and to will of His good pleasure. And why? Why does he do all that? For obedience. Look with me. Verse 2. With obedience. For obedience. What does that mean? Exactly what it says. We're to obey. And one of the really neat things that we've gotten very good at is saying we don't know God's voice. This generation especially, we don't know if that's God speaking or the devil speaking or me speaking. Well, get it straightened out. We're children of the living God. We know His voice. You know when God's speaking to you. And we don't have any choice. When He speaks, we're supposed to be obedient. We have a choice, but you know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be, what's it mean to obey? Husbands always have a problem with that. They swallow right before when I'm doing marriage ceremonies. To love, honor, and obey. Come on, someone. To obey, the scripture says, 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." The English Standard Version says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." So when God speaks, Peter is establishing some things here that make everybody on equal ground. He said, "I'm speaking to you, the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. You've been sanctified in the Spirit for obedience, and then the sprinkling of the blood of Christ." We've been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that never loses its power. With us, we've entered into a covenant that was ratified with Jesus Christ and God the Father. That gives us all the benefits of the covenant. Think about that. All the benefits of the covenant are yours. Say, "God, where do I go for healing? Covenant. God, where do I go for wisdom? Covenant. God, where do I go for finances? Covenant." Because in God's covenant, He promised to take care of us. We've been ordained as priests to the Lord. Come on, somebody. Start calling each other priests. We've been ordained as priests as part of the covenant. The sprinkling of the blood of Christ. And He cleansed us from all corruption, all sickness, all sin. Has no place in us. Five more minutes. Can I take five more minutes? Because this is a good part. This is a good part right here. It's all good, but listen to what it says here in verse 3. Are you there? Everybody there in the Word? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. No fear looking at the screen. Now look at your Bibles. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy," if anybody knew the mercy of God, it was Pete, "has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, this is Peter talking to mostly Gentiles who have been saved, had no idea who God was not raised in the temple, did not understand God the Father, but now was receiving Jesus Christ and serving God the Father. And he says, "You are kept by the power of God." And I know that we've been challenged a lot in our generation, and now we're being challenged more than ever, but it still is nothing to compare what some of our brothers and sisters around the globe right now are facing. But we have to remember that we've been kept by His power. We're blessed And we bless. We bless God the Father. We praise God for His awesome provision. The motive for salvation comes from God. He came after us. We did not seek Him. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. He pursued our lives. Come on, somebody. Blessed be the God and Father. Spurgeon said, as we are by nature, justice condemns us. Holiness frowns upon us. Power crushes us. Truth confirms the threatening of the law, and wrath fulfills it. It is from the mercy of our God that hope begins. Abundant mercy of God. How many are glad for the mercy of God? Because, man, I start to walk right, and I get all my chest pumped out and stuff, and then you trip and fall, and you're so glad for the mercy of God. And Peter reiterates what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said He has begotten us again. He's begotten us again, the same as being born again. Not dealing with the new as the old man. We're a new creation. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a new creation. He has made us new. We're new creations. We're untouched by sin. The spark of eternity is within us. God has made a down payment and changed us by His Holy Spirit. We're born again, begotten us again to a living hope. A living hope that's alive every minute of every day to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled. It can never perish. It never fades away. And it's reserved safe by God. It's kept safe by Him. It goes on to say, we're kept by His power. His power is the fortress where we find our security. It enables us to endure. The responsibility for power is in God. There's nothing we have to work up. One of the things I was struck by James and Amy this morning, they just showed up. Come on, somebody. How many know when a tire falls off a car and you're there, you just show up and you're trying to hear the Holy Spirit? God will work wonders. They're nobody special. He can work through you just like He does James and Amy. We're kept by His power. You say, well, Pastor Rick, you do not know my life. You seem to have an easy life, Pastor Rick, but you don't know my life. I've got to deal with this and that and the other. And you're right, I probably don't know what's going on in your life, but God does. So we're without excuse. Look what Peter says. And if Peter knows about trials, he says in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In closing, let me encourage you this morning. God knows you're going through trials. God knows you have to face those trials. Nothing's worth having if it's not tested. You say you have great faith. Well, you got to get in situations where you need faith. We exercise earthly faith all the time. Come on. Wake up in the morning, turn on the light switch. We don't know if it's going to work or not. We exercise faith. We hit the switch. But somehow when it comes to exercising godly faith, we get all upset. We live by faith. The purpose of trials is to test the faith. He said, if need be, you grieve. A lot of Christians say, well, it's not right to grieve. Well, right here it says, if need be, you have been grieved. We're tested. We stand the test of time. That's why the scripture says, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. After having done all to stand, Ephesians says, stand therefore. God's promises are yes and amen. They're going to come across. Stop looking at your watch and your calendar and going, God, when is this going to end? It will end whenever God says it will end. You make sure that everything is out of your life. If need be, you're grieved with various trials. Look what he says, that the genuineness, the power and the authority of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you know when you get the revelation of Jesus Christ? At the end of the trial. You don't get the revelation of Jesus Christ at the beginning of the trial, then the trial's gone. And we seem to ask, God, why do you withhold your revelation? Because, man, whenever the chips are down, all of a sudden God delivers us. And we're that much more in love with Him because He's rescued us. Come on, someone. Every time I think about that mattress commercial where they're pounding a mattress with that big thing, that piston deal that's hitting a mattress. This mattress has been tested. No. My faith has been tested. The big piston of God's. Come on. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. There's a lot of things we're facing in the next few months that will surprise us. But God will deliver us from them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. So, Father, we thank you this morning for the great news that we got this morning, that Lord, you love us. Thank you for the prophetic word, Father, that you're the end, Jesus, that when we've had enough, you're enough. Thank you, Lord, for the word that came forth from our brother and sister. Thank you for the lives that are being changed all over the place by Revive Ministry, God. Thank you for the missionaries that are in our midst. Thank you for the brothers and sisters that are here this morning, God. And I pray that you'd meet their every need according to your glory in Christ. I thank you, God, that no matter what trials and temptations we face, you are able to deliver us from them all. So, God, we put our faith and our trust in you, Jehovah, eternal God. While every eye is closed, every head bowed, Father, I pray for each and every one. God, I pray that there would be a revelation of your love, a revelation of your provision for each and every one. And Lord, whatever trials and temptations we're going through, God, you're able to meet and exceed our expectations. So, Father, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, God, for ordering our steps this week. God, may we walk in more victory than we ever thought possible, according to your loving kindness and mercy, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And if you need prayer, we're here. Lord bless you, and we'll see you on Wednesday night.